Who do you depend on in life, and why do you depend on them? Who do you depend on, and why do you depend on him or her or them? If I were to ask you who's the most trustworthy person you know, who is that? Who comes to mind? Someone that when you need them, they are there. They will never abandon you. They will protect you. They will provide for you. Who's that person that comes to mind? When I was in college, probably a sophomore, probably a junior, maybe I was a senior, I was at the University of Connecticut, and I was speaking one night with my parents, and we were talking on the phone, and they were telling me about my sister, who was a freshman at the time, I believe, and she was at school, maybe she was a sophomore, she's 2 years younger. But she was at her school in Pennsylvania, and she was having some difficulty in school. My parents were sharing with me that Linnea, my sister, her ex-boyfriend, was bordering on stalking her. They were a little concerned because he was following her, he was showing up unexpectedly, he was making her feel uncomfortable as she was feeling these advances were coming towards her. And my parents were sharing with me that they felt that they were a little concerned for her safety. So here I am up in Connecticut, and my sister's in Pennsylvania. My sister's always been strong and confident. I appreciate that about her. She's been strong-willed, and she can generally take care of herself. So to hear my parents say that they were concerned about her safety, it got my attention. And so when I hung up the phone, I remember hanging up that phone, and I started to make plans immediately about traveling the distance from Connecticut to Pennsylvania. And I began to make these plans, and it was about 5 hours away from where I was at that moment to getting to her. And in my mind, I was going to have a talk with this guy who was harassing my sister. And I started thinking about that. I don't know what, if anything, I was going to do, but I had this innate desire to go and protect my younger sister. So as I made my plans, the first phone call I made was actually to my best friend, Keith. And Keith lived in Pennsylvania, where I grew up, and he was about 2 hours away from my sister in school. And so I thought if I was going to go out there, it'd be nice to meet up with Keith and to get there and just have somebody else with me. And so I called Keith, and I said, Keith, I need to go out and be with my sister and explain the situation to him. I'll never forget this. Keith said to me, he said, Doug, he says, I'm 3 hours or closer than you are. He goes, I can leave now with my Louisville Slugger in the car, and I'll be there before you've even made halfway through the trip. Do you want me to go? To this day, Keith is one of my most trusted and dependable friends. We never did make it out to my sister's school, which looking back is probably a good thing. Linnea actually told me that she was okay. If she needed me, she would call, but she was okay. But I can tell you this, it was a comfort knowing that I had Keith on the other end of that phone, that I had someone who would watch my back like that. At the drop of a hat, Keith would have been out there protecting my little sister just because I'd asked him to go. Who do you depend on? And why? When the going gets tough, is there someone that you can talk to who will walk through fire for you? If you do, that knowledge grounds you, doesn't it? It makes you feel incredibly solid when you look at life. And if you're sitting here today and you can't think of someone like that, remember this, Jesus walked to hell and back for you. He has gone to hell and back for you. In today's message, we're learning about living a life that you can't live on your own. It's the last video series in this series that Pastor Ben Mandrella has taught, and I want you to pay attention today to what Ben says about the Holy Spirit of God and how when the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, he empowers you and gives you confidence that you can always depend on Jesus. And so if you will, turn with me your attention towards the screen as we look today to session 6 of our video series, Do-Over.
Welcome to this 6th and final session of Do-Over. I hope you've gotten as much out of this experience as I have. We end on a high note today as we think about the life we can live only through the power of Jesus Christ. Some people are intimidated when they think about representing Christ in the marketplace, that now I'm a believer and now I'm supposed to behave and work and show people the fruit of my life. How am I going to do that? How am I going to show real change? I understand intimidation. We've all been there. My little boy, Miles, is 6 years old. Recently, he was learning how to ride a bike, and I was trying to help him. He had all the tools he needed. He just needed the assurance that I was standing next to him. So I put my hand on that back seat. I walked with him. And after a while, he became confident, but he needed to know I was there. And I want to encourage you today that the Apostle Paul has filled our hearts with hope that the Holy Spirit is always there to help us. So we have this central verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 11 that says this, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you." You have been empowered and you will be sustained by the Holy Spirit. In this world, just about everybody has a cell phone, it seems. Recently, I was going to bed. I was tired. I plugged the cord into the bottom of my phone. I laid it down, and I drifted off to sleep. And the next morning, I got up to realize that the other side of that cord was still laying on the ground. There was no power. And I think we all feel sometimes in the Christian life, we're going to get in this place where we feel unempowered. But the Holy Spirit makes the promise to us that He will never leave us. He will always empower us. That same power that brought Jesus up from the grave will bring you back every time you get beat down. So be encouraged by that today. I was thinking about this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is as low as He's ever been in His earthly life. He is to the point of sorrow that it says that His sweat was like drops of blood. He was in deep, deep grief and concern and anxiety. And it says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 43, that angels came at that moment to minister to Him, imparted strength to Him. God supplied the strength when Jesus, the Son, needed it. And that's just a small picture of what the Holy Spirit does for us. Every single time you think you can't go one more step, the Holy Spirit shows up and provides the staying power to see you through. I want you to think about grace in three different categories today, because these three different categories of grace are helpful. Theologians talk about grace in these ways. Number one, salvation grace. We have been saved by grace, and we've been talking about that, how it's not by works, but by the works of Jesus that we're saved. And so you should be deeply grateful today for the salvation that comes through the cross of Jesus Christ. But then there is a thing called sanctifying grace, where in Philippians, Paul says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." Be thankful today that God is not going to leave you alone. He's still growing you, developing you, perfecting you, changing you from the inside out. He's sanctifying you, making you more and more holy. But then there's this third kind of grace, which is called sustaining grace. And all of us come to that moment in our lives when we've run out of gas. Sometimes it happens with a tragedy. I'm ministering to a family right now whose son was involved in a terrible car crash, and they're wondering how they're going to get through this, how they're going to get their son through this. I've been with families who have received the news about a devastating cancer. I've been with a boy who thought he had a full career of athletics before him, but an injury suddenly brought that to a close. We have these moments when our life takes a detour, and we just don't know that we'll have the fuel to make it to the destination. But God's Word promises, Romans 8 promises, that the Holy Spirit will see you through. So I want to take you to two key verses as we close today. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, it says this. It says, "All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption." So what that tells me is that the Holy Spirit guides me because I'm His son, or you're a son or daughter. He promises to guide me. So there's not going to ever be a decision that I can't make through the wisdom and supplied strength of the Holy Spirit. And then it tells me also that the Spirit pushes fear out of my life. And fear is always wanting in my life. A friend of mine once said, fear consumes whatever it touches. And the Holy Spirit always pushes fear out of our lives so that it will not consume us. You might be looking ahead at your future, and there's certain things on the horizon that cause you great fear. Changes that are coming, obstacles you'll have to overcome. You don't have to worry about tomorrow because the Holy Spirit will see you through. Be challenged today that as you walk through this life, God will never leave you alone. As we finish today, I just want to say a personal word of thanks for walking with me through this journey. I started this lesson today by talking about intimidation. It's an intimidating thing to try to teach the book of Romans. It's one of the most difficult books to understand. But I hope we've made sense of it. I hope the Bible has met your life. And I hope that you've truly been changed by this experience. I know that I have. I hope to see you on the road again one day. And God bless you as you think through His grace.
Earlier in this series, we've read and we've learned that there's a constant battle in our lives. It is a battle between the sin of our life and the power of Christ in our life. The sin that so easily entangles us, the sin that wants to undo us, and the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is within us. There's a constant tension here. It never goes away. It cannot be removed. It can't be ignored. We can't just meditate it away. It is a tension that always exists. But today in Romans chapter 8, we learn that there is another law at work besides that of sin. It is the law of the Holy Spirit of God. And the hope for us is that in the struggle that we all face, the Holy Spirit of God gives us the power to fight against the sin. If you want, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, which is found on page 1757 of your Pew Bibles. 1757, we're reading Romans chapter 8, 14 to 17. And as you turn there, I'm going to offer the Lord a prayer. Lord, we pray today that you would teach us about the power of sin and the power of your Holy Spirit, and how you have broken the power of sin in our lives, and how, Lord, we can walk under the power that is given to us by your Spirit. Teach us that this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For those who are led by the Spirit, it picks up in the middle of that verse. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our own spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we might also share in His glory. Friends, when I asked you earlier, who do you depend on and why, did any one of us think about our fathers? For some of us here, our families were rock solid and our parents were wonderful examples of love and stability. But for others of us here, our parents were not very dependable. In fact, they were less than trustworthy, and perhaps they were completely unreliable. And so it may be hard to think about our parents as being dependable. But the role of Father, as God designed it to be, modeled after God, our Heavenly Father, that role is that of a man who is dependable, who is supportive, who is loving. If you look here at the middle of this verse, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, the Spirit you received a Spirit and makes you adopted into God's family. And by Him, in other words, by God, we cry, Abba, Father. Whenever you see Abba, Father, that means daddy. Literally, daddy. We cry out, daddy, save us. Daddy, protect us. Daddy, we love you. There's this image of daddy here in Scripture that's unlike anything else. It's not God the Father. It's not Jesus the friend or the son. It is daddy who loves us and absolutely wants the best for us. Look at this verse, if you've got it there, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. How many times in these three verses, five sentences, seven lines of Scripture, how many times does Paul describe some picture of family? Calling us children of God, adopted into sonship, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. As created beings in God's family, we share in His sufferings and in His glory. This should blow our minds. It should blow our minds. God wants us to call Him Daddy. And we are part of God's family as His children in the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And through that Holy Spirit, He will prove to us His love as the best, most wonderful, supportive, loving Father anyone could ever ask for. There is a tension in our lives. It is the power of sin and the power of God. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available and wants to be revealed in us. But it is our fear, if you heard Ben say it, it is our fear that keeps us locked up. It is our fear that keeps us frozen, keeps us impotent in comparison to what God says He has given to us. Verses 14 and 15 here. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in what? Everybody say it out loud. Fear. Fear. You don't live in fear. But rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as heirs of God. We are not slaves to sin. We are free from sin. We are free from sin to enjoy grace, blessing. The gift of God is being His children. In the video today, Ben talked about three types of grace. I love the way he outlined it. Three types of grace that we see in the Bible as God's children. Do you remember what they were? Maybe you wrote them down. If you didn't, I would encourage you. They're great definitions to encourage us about how God is dependable in this life. If you want to write these down, write them down on your sermon notes of your bulletin. But the first one is this. And I'm actually going to review some of our notes from what we've seen here in the last couple of sermons that we've preached. And the first one is that picture of those two cliffs. You may remember we had a picture of those two cliffs. And on the one side was humanity, God and humans. And the other side is, I'm sorry, on the one side is humanity and the other side is God. And there's a big cavern in the middle. Doesn't work, Lori, it's okay. No. It doesn't, so there's this huge, huge picture of a cliff over here and a cliff over here, and all of humanity is over here, and God is standing over here. And in the middle is this huge cavern. And people think that they can just get to God by doing good things, by if I'm just good enough, if I give enough money, if I just go to church enough, if I'm just nice to people, if I give to the soup kitchen. If I go and I serve and I do what I do and I give and I give, if I just do enough, well, then I'm going to get to heaven. But there's nothing we can do as human beings that's going to make us perfect enough to be with God. And we know that. That's the condition of our hearts. We feel that inside. And so we jump, and every single time we fall flat into the cavern. And so that first grace that is talked about, that first one that is being described as the salvation grace, the grace that God gives us, that He loves us so much, God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus. And that Jesus literally, as a cross, becomes a bridge for us. And we walk across His shoulders, going from human beings, broken, imperfect, messed up people, to being made holy. As we walk across the arms of Christ and have access to the Father. That is God's salvation grace. That is the gift of salvation. He didn't have to do it. He could have said, I'm done with you, but He didn't do that. At the right time, according to God's plan, he sent Jesus into the world that we might be saved. And so that is God's saving grace that is there for us. The next one, which we've seen before here, is this picture here, is God's work of sanctifying. Sanctifying just means process of sanctifying, making us more like Jesus. You learn and you practice the spiritual disciplines that we've talked about, those spiritual disciplines of prayer in the Bible, which connect us to God, and those spiritual disciplines of giving to others and having friends and fellowship within the church. Those are all spiritual disciplines that God is asking us to keep growing in. He wants us to grow in the Bible. He wants to grow in our giving. He wants us to grow in our prayer life. He wants us to grow in the friendships that we have. All of these are disciplines that we have to make time in our schedule for, that we have to make as a priority in our lives. And so God is saying, as you do this, I will give you grace to do that. As you apply yourself to these things, I will grow you. I will draw you closer to me. And so we have the salvation grace. We now have the sanctifying grace as God is working through making us holy. And this last grace that he talked about is the sustaining grace. The sustaining grace that gets us through the tough moments in life. This is a new picture for us. It's a new picture because it shows us how God sustains us when life is so hard. It's God's grace that holds us together when we feel like we're coming apart. When you face tragedy or when you face heartache, when you face loss, sustaining grace doesn't take away the pain and doesn't make everything better. Sustaining grace is the fuel that God gives us just to take one more step forward today when all you want to do is quit. Recently, a friend of mine was telling me about a tremendous loss that he has experienced in his life. He's actively grieving right now. As he talked with me, he said he feels like everything around him is moving in slow motion. He asked me, how is it possible that everyone else can be fine, but for him, the grief is almost too much to bear. For him, it's like he's sitting down and looking, and everything's in slow motion, except for the people in his life that are just moving at Mach 3 because they're moving normal life, and he's sitting there trying to adjust to his surroundings. And as we talked about the issue of faith and what role God plays in our grief, we together concluded that faith doesn't take away the pain. Faith doesn't make life easier, but God's sustaining grace is what helps you get out of bed every morning and just put your feet on the ground. It is God's sustaining grace in that moment that allows you to just get one foot in front of the other and walk out the door. In the case of my friend, he feels that perhaps someday he will experience freedom and hope, and he might move at the speed of a normal human being again. But right now, the sustaining grace that is in his life is just enough to keep him upright and moving a little bit forward every day. Salvation grace, sanctifying grace, sustaining grace. You can depend upon Jesus because he says that he will provide the grace that you need at the moment that you need it. And his grace is sufficient for all of our needs. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption as sons and daughters. By him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs. We are heirs of God, and we are co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share also in his glory. Friends, this table that is behind me that we're going to enjoy together is God's grace for you. God's grace that every single time we come to it, we are reminded of his salvation grace. We are reminded of his sanctifying grace. We are reminded that he sustains us each and every day. God knows that you and I are weak in our minds. God knows that we would turn our backs on Him. The moment we walk out this door, we're thinking about everything else but Him. And so He has set it up by His grace to remind us through this meal. Through the weakness of our faith, God restores us and encourages us to remember Him. And so this morning, I would like to invite the servers for communion if they would come and take a seat in front with me. And let us share together this meal of God's grace given for you. Friends, I share with you what we know from Scripture. That on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. And after giving thanks to God, He broke the bread. And He gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Take and eat. This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." God's grace for us. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He shared with them and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in My blood. My blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you do this in remembrance of Me." Again, God's grace for us. Let us pray. Father, thank You for this meal. Thank You for this table of grace. We pray, Lord, that You would take this food and You would transform it from bread and juice and from their common elements, that they would become spiritual food for us here today. Lord, that we would enjoy what You have offered us and that we would partake together in Your grace to sustain us in life. We pray this today in Jesus' name.